Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This is embarrassing. You should not be listening to this show. What the hell is that about? The hell are you doing?
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah, I have the sniffles. I have a little cold. Can you tell? Is my voice different? Don't answer. I can't hear you. Yell louder. I can't. Is my voice different? Yeah, I have a little cold. Have the itchy eyes, the tearing eyes, the runny nose, the coughing, the wheezing, the scratchy feet, the the irritated crotch, the dirty fingernails, the strange flavored Did we see in a Chinese menu, they actually have a dish called strange flavored chicken. What the hell is that? Who would name a dish strange flavored chicken? Sounds like you're about to send it back. Can you come over here, please? We ordered the chicken. This has got a strange flavor. What's wrong with, is it not cooked? What's wrong with this? Oh, that's our strange flavored chicken. What? What do you mean it's a strange? What the hell's wrong with you? Before I got my cold, I did go to a Chinese restaurant and I ordered one of their combination platters, which is a combination of not too much food and a lot of rice. What's up with the rice thing, with the Chinese rice thing? What is it with you people? That sounded wrong. What's the deal with the rice? Are there like giant dump trucks of rice like that show up at the restaurant every day? Why? Why is it like a tiny little bit of meat and then like a dump truck full of rice? I mean, who needs that much rice in their diet? God, a lot of rice going on there. My God. Hope there's never a rice famine there in China, like, you know, like the potato famine in Ireland that would shut down the whole country. Wow. Fried rice. What the hell's with that? I've never... Who comes up with this stuff? I've heard of rice before, but then to fry it? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you doing? What a strange cuisine it is. It's very... And there's no cheese. I've talked about this before. There's no cheese in Chinese food. If there is, it's like totally American. It has nothing to do with Chinese food. No cheese. I know they have cows because there is beef, but no cheese. It's wild. It's wild. And maybe that's what the strange flavor chicken is. It's chicken with cheese. But who does this? kind of cuisine is this? I used to videotape weddings, and I've done a couple of Chinese weddings. They're very traditional. There's a lot of stuff to the weddings. It's not just having the wedding ceremony. There's a lot of ceremonies around it. A lot of traditional stuff goes on all day. And when you go to the reception at a Chinese wedding, it's all done family style, whether you have a family or not. Family style means you stick your dirty stuff into the main bowl. It was disgusting. Everybody was taking their chopsticks, which they had licked in their mouth with saliva all over the wood, and they dipped their chopsticks into the major bowl of food. I mean, how unhealthy is that? Look, I have a cold right now. What if I did that? What if I went to a wedding and I started taking my cold saliva chopsticks laden with my spit and started sticking it in the major bowl of food that you're all sticking your chopsticks into? Would we not all be in the same hospital room at the same time? What the hell's going on with that? I mean, I understand the kumbaya of everybody eating out of the same bowl, but geez, come on. I never understood that. Like, how is that possible? There's like a lazy Susan. I don't know where Susan came from, but she lies in the middle of the table and they put bowls on her. And then you just stick your mouth into the bowl. As a matter of fact, and you're probably familiar with this, but a popular way of eating rice for Chinese food is to take the bowl and put the bowl in your mouth. Like, you know, open your mouth, stick the bowl in it, and then use the chopsticks to shove the rice directly from the bowl into your mouth. It's not a pretty thing. I guess it's extremely efficient to just take the plate and shove it in your mouth. I guess it's efficient, but it's certainly not pretty. I cannot imagine going out on a date for the first time with this person, and then they say, they take the bowl and they shove it in their mouth and with the chopsticks shoving going. I mean, like, come on. That is not sexy. That's how they eat rice. We all have strange customs. In every country, we have strange customs. Strangest custom in America is that we don't shut up when we're eating. For some reason, while we're eating, we've got to talk for some reason. We just never shut up. I don't know why that is. We're very loud people. We are. Americans are very loud people. Not like that in other countries. In other countries, they sit down, they eat their food, and they shut up. I like that. Anyway, there you go. There you have it. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's Ron Van Dam Show. I'm not at the top of my game. I don't know where the game is or how I stand on the top or the bottom of the game. I don't know what the hell that means. But I'm not at the top of my game today because I'm not feeling great. And again, I can't hear myself. I have headsets on, but I can't gauge my voice. That has to be done by another person. And I've been told that I sound like I'm not doing well. I feel fine. It's just my voice is, I don't know, I'm coughing and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm at the tail end of this thing. Bottom line is, if you know me personally, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Stay away from me. You know that privacy space that's supposed to be around you? You know, people aren't supposed to infiltrate your privacy space. Mine is now up to 3 miles. Don't come close to me at all. Don't come close to me. I don't believe that I'm germy. I don't think I'm germy. I think I'm past the germy thing because I'm not sneezing or anything like that. But still, don't get too close to me. Whether I'm sick or not, stay away from me. That's pretty much the bottom line there. It doesn't really matter whether I'm sick or not. Just stay away from me, okay? We can talk on the phone. We can talk on the phone or text, even better. Texting is wonderful. Thank you, texting. Now I don't have to talk to people. I just get my point across, done. Don't have to have this superficial conversation surrounding the facts anymore. Want to have lunch Tuesday? The response in the text, yes, what time is good for you? My response, 12:30. Their response, usual place. My response, see you then. It's done. It's done. It's finished. There's no phone conversation like, hey, you want to have lunch next week? Oh, yeah. Oh, my dog's not feeling well. Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God, yesterday, like, I went to the store, and I go in, and I see the cutest little, and I put it on. It doesn't fit me, but it looks like it fits me, but then I figure, no, I have plenty of dresses that color. Hey, I just asked you, do you want to do lunch next week? Oh, yeah, I don't know. The texting stops all that stuff. It's just fact, 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 fact. I love texting. I love it. It's just, let's get down to it. Let's just get it done. No more talking. No talking at all. None. I love that. Voicemail was a great invention as well. You can make believe you're not there. You know, you can see on the caller ID, another great invention, caller ID. Oh my God, what a wonderful invention that was. You can see who's calling you, or should I say who's bothering you? And you just let it go to voicemail, or you can actually speed it up and just disconnect. That's a fantastic tool as well. I'm old enough when if the phone rang, you had no idea who was on the other end at all. Could be a telemarketer. Could be a relative telling you that your parents are dead. I mean, it could be anything. Or it could be that annoying person that you never want to speak to. And then when they call, you have to make up excuses. I only have a minute. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll call you back. I'll call you back next year. I can't. I don't have time right now. You don't have to go through all of that. Just don't talk to them. Then they leave the voicemail and they say, yeah, I tried to get in touch with you. It's about your dead cat. Okay, good. All right, now I know what it's about. Thank you. Without even talking to you. You see, here's the problem. Talking to people in an extended manner only gets you into trouble if you just stick to the facts. Everybody would be better off. When you start getting into your opinions and your idle conversation, someone's going to get pissed off. Someone's going to get bored. Someone is going to get annoyed, insulted, whatever the case may be. That's where people get into trouble. They talk too much. They don't know when to stop. They have no filter. It's like if you make coffee and you don't use a coffee filter, all the coffee will get into the, you'll get coffee grounds in your coffee cup. You don't want that. You want a filter. This is the same thing in a conversation. You got to have a filter. Otherwise, all the crap from your mouth just gets all over the place and all over the floor. Got to have a filter. Do you know people without filters? I do. They just don't know when to stop. They don't know when to stop. And you're supposed to know. You're supposed to be aware of the other person when you have a conversation with them. You're supposed to include them in the conversation. Ask them questions. Ask what they think of what you just said. Or did that happen to you? Get them involved in the conversation so it's a 50-50 deal. Conversation is not talking at somebody. That's not what that is. It's not a lecture. Unless you title it as such. Hello, this is Betty. I will be lecturing you on the phone for the next 5 minutes. Hello, this is Betty. I will give you all the details of my life that you won't care about, but I don't care that you don't care, so here I go. I don't know, kids. I'm not sure about this thing. All right. Okay, I get it.
Seriously, if this guy was any cooler, he would be pronounced dead. He's Ron Van Dam, and this is The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, man. It's not easy. It's not easy. They have a thing at my medical group thing. I don't have a doctor anymore. I have a medical group. It's still one doctor, but my doctor is a member of a medical group. Everything's grouped up now. We're all grouped. And in this building, there is an urgent care place where if you can't see your doctor, you go there and they urgently care for you. And it's wonderful, but I always feel guilty about going there. You know, it's like, well, this isn't really that urgent. I just like want to be seen. I have nothing else to do. I don't know. I got this thing against. I love doctors and I don't. You know what I'm saying? I love a good doctor. I love a good a good doctor is good. I love to have one in my pocket. Ron, do you have a good doctor? Yes, I know a guy. I know a girl. I have a good doctor. Do you have an attorney? Yeah, I know an attorney. I have an attorney. You know, it's nice to have all that stuff. I can't even laugh. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm wheezing like a pig. All right, let's speak to our guest today so that this was pre-recorded a couple of days ago, so this is much better. And here we go. Hey, Charles.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. Charles Novak joins us. He's an author. Home is Everywhere, the unbelievably true story of one man's journey to map America. And this is his latest release. What is the book about? I understand that you were brought up in a small town, a small hometown, and you've been in many small hometowns in your life.
Right. Well, the book is about growing up in a small town America and what it was like to live in 60 towns and work in 20 states.
Wow, now
it's just a kind of a general story about my life until I retired.
How did you come about to live in so many places?
Well, I worked for the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey.
There you go.
And when I was 18 years of age, mm-hmm. graduated from high school, I went down to Manhattan, Kansas, and interviewed for a job with the government, uh-huh. and they hired me, and that's how I come to move all the way around the country.
Wow.
We had a geodetic survey, and what we'd done, we had mm-hmm. done triangulation surveys for map making, and we had to move every 30 to 60 days.
You know,
to a new area of an operation.
Yeah. I mean, politically, we hear a lot about Middle America, and I don't think I know even what that means. I don't know what the small is and what the middle and what the big is, but would you consider the towns that you lived in to be Middle America, or what terminology?
Yeah, most of the time we would live in like county seat teams. Uh-huh. towns and I consider that Middle America in the living in the Midwest.
Yeah, interesting. And I've never lived in a small town. I always lived in urban areas or suburbs of urban areas. So my activities would be going to theater and that kind of thing, and to concerts. And I understand that in small towns, it's playing cards and talking with neighbors. It's different, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a friendly atmosphere. You know all your neighbors, and you know everybody in town, by their first name.
Yeah.
So I thought I love that better than the city life myself.
Yeah,
so, I've lived both places.
Yeah, so there kind of are two Americas. I mean, there are different attitudes and. You do come from different places, I guess.
Yeah, but everybody seems to be the same.
Yeah.
I think everybody's pretty patriotic. They're concerned about what's going on in America.
Yeah, well, yeah, some more than others, but yeah. In what you did, you moved around a lot, and there are many circumstances that a lot of families do a lot of moving, not half as much as you did probably, but is that a difficult life or an exciting life? How would you categorize it?
Well, I thought it was an exciting life myself, because mm-hmm. I enjoyed going to a different area and exploring what was going on, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just enjoyed it very much.
And were you did you have children at the time?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We had three children.
All right. So was that again? Was that educational? Was it more informative for them, or do you think it was difficult for them?
Well, it was difficult and educational.
Uh-huh.
Because they had to change school, so they a lot of times you'd go into a school and the kids would be ahead of their class,
right.
And then the next school they'd be behind, so they'd always have to work hard to catch up.
Yeah.
But I think it was a big factor in their life, because they could adapt to any situation they got into. Because once they started on a career path, they didn't hesitate to move to a new area, a new city.
Interesting.
To begin their work.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about mapping America, which is what you did, this was integral to what we know now as a GPS system. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's part of it. Yeah, because you have to have a latitude and longitude points to start with. So that had a little something to do. I didn't really have much to do with the GPS. We did test them at the Bureau of Standards there in Gaithersburg, uh-huh. Maryland, at one time. But I retired before it really got into really full swing of things.
Do you use GPS now?
Oh, yeah. I use it in my car all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't get along without it.
Okay. All right.
Because it's too dangerous to look at a map now.
It is.
With all the traffic we have.
Yeah, but that's what we used to do. You had a co-pilot a lot usually when you were going on trips.
Right.
But, we were distracted quite a bit as well. I don't think anybody really talks about that.
I used to try to memorize everything. You know, I'd look at the map and then I'd memorize where I was going, you know, where I was supposed to turn and stuff.
Yeah. As you look back at your life, it's been quite full, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah. That's
I've done a lot of traveling. I spent 12 years in the field, and then I got an office in got a job in the Kansas City field office.
Yeah.
And then they closed that office, and then I went back to Rockville, Maryland, where we had our headquarters, and worked till I retired.
I see.
So I spent 12 years in the field, and probably 12 in Kansas City and 13 in Rockville, Maryland.
Wow. Did you put this book together by yourself?
No, I had a ghostwriter to help me.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was that an interesting experience? Yeah. Is it accurate?
It was quite an experience, because I've never experienced anything like that in my life, and I never dreamed of writing a book.
Yeah.
That was the last thing I'd ever thought about.
Well,
and so once I got into it and started recalling some of the stuff that I'd gone through, then I got to enjoying it. So I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
A year and a half later, I got the final results. It was a long, drawn out affair.
I understand that your son gave you your book for Christmas.
Yeah. he wanted a little history about living in small town America and how we handled moving, in 20 states and living in 60 towns.
Wow.
And he wanted that for the grandkids, something for history.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story, because I don't know of anybody that has that experience close to what you've had, and that's always something to undertake and to read about. It's interesting.
Well, I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed my work. In fact, I like the field work better than office work.
Yeah. Well, yes. People who have office work.
You had so many different. You had more experience on.
Well, sure.
On certain things.
Yeah.
Doing things and.
Oh, gotcha.
Whatever. You know.
Oh, people, some people sit in a cubicle for 30 years, and that's kind of, I guess, the opposite of what you did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we spent all the time.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Traveling around.
Yeah. Do you think that you have more of an appreciation for the planet than other people would? I mean, having been outside and visited so many locations, I mean, seen so many different people in different settings?
Well, I think our environment has really changed a lot.
Yeah, it has.
You know, since I started traveling.
Yes.
I remember one time I went to Denver, Colorado, and the smog was so bad, and then I go back again,
yeah.
And the city had cleared up, you know.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, good. Interesting.
And
interesting.
I think that's a big, but I don't know. Traveling around it, the country's basically the same,
yeah.
You know.
Can I ask where you live now? What state do you live in?
I live in Arizona,
okay.
Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's actually very nice. And are you happy just to sit there and not move around anymore?
Oh yeah, yeah. But traveling kind of gets in your blood,
so you
do miss it.
I guess.
So.
Well.
So I guess now I just get in the car and drive around when I get
that's fine.
To the territory.
What the heck?
We have the mountains right outside our house, so
nice.
I don't have to go very far to see different terrain.
Nice stuff. Well, the book is called Home is Everywhere, and there's a lot of subtitles after it, but it's called Home is Everywhere. Fascinating. Again, something that most of us, or almost all of us, don't get to experience, and the amount of appreciation that you picked up is fascinating. It's available everywhere, I assume?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and several smaller bookstores.
Great. And people can probably Google your name, Charles Novak, and find out all about you and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Perfect.
Right.
Hey, great speaking to you, and fascinating stuff, and I'm glad we spoke today.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye.
That was cozy. That was a cozy interview, wasn't it? I'm going to rest up so that on Monday I can be back to normal and we can have some more fun and I can be on the top of my game again, you know what I mean? So until then, have a great weekend. I wish you peace.